This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
You're a man that's nourished by the presence of God. You have an advantage. You can pray things into harmony and be the living epistle that will change your spouse's mind. And you do that through sacrificial servanthood. It can change.
You can interact with Creflo Dollar Ministries anytime, anywhere. All of this is at your fingertips with our state-of-the-art custom-designed app. With the broadcast feature, you can access your favorite messages, sermon series, and more. Add events to your calendar, set reminders, get directions, share with friends, and even give securely through this platform. Visit CreflodollarMinistries.org/app or text APP to 51555 today.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
So we look at Genesis chapter 3:16. I'm going to pick out some points there. Verse 16, he says, to the woman, he said, your desire will be for your husband, but he shall rule over you. Now, notice this curse. All right. Have you noticed that? That doesn't sound like a blessing, right? What God was actually saying was this. Here's this translation. Now that you have lost your dominion over life and over the earth. Boy, that's something big. Your desire will be to rule over your husband, but he gonna rule over you. See, that's a curse. Now you got a woman trying to rule over you, but you're gonna be ruling over her. And ain't nobody supposed to be ruling over nobody. It was never God's intention for either of them to rule over each other. It was His intention for both of them to rule over this world together and to do it in equality and to do it as joint heirs, just as we are now joint heirs with Christ Jesus, as Romans chapter 8 and 16 says that. We were supposed to do it as joint heirs. Marriage should be partnership equality. But somebody came in and invented these roles, and the joint heirness disappeared. And now inferiority says, we're fighting to see who's gonna rule over one another. Since we both lost dominion, we got to see who's going to dominate and manipulate. Who's the boss? That came out of inferiority. You got women right now who don't see it necessary to be in love with you. As long as you're willing to take care of them and you look a little bit half decent, and at this point, they don't really care how you look. And there's some, not all. There are great women in here. But there are some who will take advantage of your inferiority because you don't value yourself. You have no value for yourself. And you allow others to devalue you. And you're in the dating process to see if you are in agreement with how this works. And you meet somebody who gives you the evidence. The sign is right there at your first date. And you ignore it because you want a trophy wife. And she fine. And she got a big old cement butt that you don't even know. You don't even know 2 years ago she ain't even had that. But she... Let me stop before I get in trouble. You see all the signs at the beginning. Somebody said to me one time, how come I seem like I'm always getting the same old type of woman? Because you keep ignoring the signals at the beginning. The signs are at the beginning and you keep ignoring. And somehow or another, you're just not being honest with yourself. You think you can overlook that. Well, what do you do with that kind of a woman? You leave her alone. Especially at the beginning. Yeah, but Pastor, what if you're already married? Okay, now, we got to come together and we got to be willing to disagree agreeably. We got to be willing to compromise. We got to be willing to... But see, you're a man that's nourished by the presence of God. You have an advantage. You can pray things into harmony and be the living epistle that will change your spouse's mind. And you do that through sacrificial servanthood. It can change. You ain't got to run off real quick. Well, you know, and I understand there are some situations for divorce. I'm not one of those guys that like, you know, you're going to hell if you get divorced. I don't believe that. There are situations for divorce. I mean, sometimes it just ain't working. There are situations for it. I understand that. But you got to make sure you hadn't gone and gotten emotionally tied into somebody while you made a commitment to try to fix the thing. Because I've had counsel sessions and I'm like, okay, well, you know, the wife says she won't stay with you. No, no. Nah. See, it's a little different now, Saul Kaus. Because, you know, I love her, but I'm not in love. Well, what that mean? What that means is what's her name? You're not ready to meet somebody else. And you're kind of making excuses for not having to go and enter into a phase of reconciliation. All that stuff is born out of inferiority. You feel short, especially when it's a hurtful, divorce is painful. Divorce hurts. It's like I became open and vulnerable with this person. We shared intimacy, but obviously it was false intimacy. And now I'm divorced with somebody I spent 30 years with. That's painful. That's traumatic. And you know what an inferior man does? Because he don't know how to deal with the trauma. He goes and try to find another girl. It don't really matter. He don't even like her. Just as long as she another one. It don't make him feel so bad because he got somebody else. Now, she don't love him. She don't care about him or nothing. She's just like, oh, well, yeah. Because I'm inferior right now. I feel short. And you never resolve that problem. So now you don't even know how to take yourself through a restorative process. And now any relationship you get in, because you're not whole, you're broken. You're not whole. And you're still going around looking for your half. You're not never supposed to marry your half. You're supposed to marry a whole. Somebody who's whole, a woman who is whole. You're not looking for a woman to complete you. You're looking for a woman to complement you. Not complete you. You should get married already. You're already complete. My wife doesn't complete me. She compliments me. See, y'all tripping now, like. How come you ain't tell me this before I got married? You should have asked 1,000 questions. And don't ask no questions you don't need to know. How many times you had sex before we got married? You don't need to know that. because that's going to work on your inferiority complex. Let me quit meddling, man. You sit up there like, dang. Oh, God, I cannot say what's in my ear right now. Well, what if she asked you the same question? It got that thing a little uneven. Inferiority is what takes away that biblical equality. So there's an issue here, like I said, with dominion and domination. Genesis 3:16 again, God says, your desire shall be for your husband, but he shall rule over you. So with her loss of dominion, she now resorts to domination. Lost dominion results to domination. Your desire for your husband is actually translated as, you shall desire to dominate your husband, but he will dominate you. So in exchange for dominion over life, they grasp for dominion over each other. Boy, that's true, isn't it? To dominate someone or attempt to manipulate and control someone, that's a feeble attempt to satisfy our need for dominion. And that comes from inferiority. Inferiority that plagued Adam and Eve after they sinned. Then they passed it down to us. Thank God for Jesus. It also says, but he shall rule over you. Well, that's a curse too, right? Please understand, that's a curse. You ruling over your wife? And that's a big discussion in the church today. The man's supposed to rule. That's a big discussion today. The curse is the woman will feel an urge to rule over her husband. Yeah, the man shall rule is in the Bible out of context. That's the problem we have today. We look at a scripture and say, it's in the Bible. But if you don't read the whole context, then you'll take something that's in the Bible that's out of context and it's not the truth. And that's what we're victim of. That's what a lot of church leaders do. They read stuff out of context and they say it's the truth, and then you're walking around with something that's a deception. It's not true. Bring ye all the tithes. You know I'm gonna go there, God dog. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. There'll be meat in my house. If you don't do it, you're going to rob me, even this whole nation, and you're cursed with a curse. Well, what is that in context? Well, first of all, he's not talking to the church. He's talking to the Levitical priesthood. You just got to keep backing up until you find context. You've robbed the whole nation. What nation is he talking about? Go up to the scripture. You see it there? No. Go to the previous chapter. You see it there? Oh, what, verse 1? Levi, priest. That's he talking about. And for 40-some years of me being in the ministry, including myself, I was preaching Malachi 3 like it was for the church. Taking things out of context. Anytime somebody wants to take the text out of the context, you're left with a con. And that's what's been happening. We've been taking the text out of the context, and all we got is the con. And we've been preaching, man, you got to rule. Listen, ruling over your house and ruling over your wife is different from having dominion there. That's dominating. What happened is we're dominating our wives and dominating our house. That ain't what you're supposed to be doing. You ain't supposed to be walking in there talking about, I'm the head. That means you're the source by which love flows. That's what the head mean. The head don't mean you coming in there cussing everybody out because you're so inferior you had a bad day. Right. what's that scripture we just ran over? Hebrews chapter 10, 26 says, if you sin willfully after the truth has been given, then there is no more sacrifice. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. What do you think that meant? Here's what I thought it meant. Well, if we sin and we meant to do it, then God ain't gonna forgive you for sins that you meant to do. Well, you mean to do all your sin. All sin is willful. And so I'm like, what are you talking about here? Well, I got to back up till I find the context. And I went back there and I found the context, and it said, Jesus is the final sacrifice for all sin. So that was the knowledge of the truth. And so now I go back and read it. He says, for if you sin willfully, what does that mean? If you reject or operate in unbelief or don't believe, if you reject the final sacrifice for sin, Jesus, then there's no more sacrifices that can help you because he's the final sacrifice. So if you sin willfully and completely ignore the knowledge of the truth that he is the final sacrifice, there ain't no more sacrifices because they ain't using no birds no more. They ain't using no doves no more. That ain't no good no more. Either you get Jesus or there remaineth no more sacrifices for you because he is the only sacrifice. You see what I'm talking about? You have to rightly divide the word. And you got to do it in context. Well, the same thing is true about our manhood. The same thing is true about our relationships. The same thing is true about our marriages. We've been conned by religion into thinking, well, that's what the Bible say. But you looked at it out of context. And manhood has been out of context. It's been presented to us as, you're the head of your family. You're supposed to make them do stuff. Well, what if they decide they're not going to do it? What if you tell your wife, well, I don't wear that dress no more. She says, I'm going to wear that dress when I want to wear it. What you going to do, beat her up? Well, baby, I don't like that wig on your hair. You need to, you know, do something else. Well, I do. And you probably need to do something with your hair. Well, if you don't rule your house well, then you're worse than an infidel. So now you're doing it out of fear. So now what you're going to go to? Manipulation. And you're going to try to manipulate with your anger. And you're going to try to manipulate. Manipulation is trying to get somebody to do something that's going to please you. So I'm going to get so angry, and I'm going to get mad, and I'm going to cuss, and I'm going to try to put fear. But you can't do that with these women. They get back with you. There's some women I know can cuss so good. My mama could cuss real good. They take two cousin words and put it to a compound cousin word. We've basically been deceived in a whole lot of areas. And how you do that? Your kid coming up to you and say, Dad, I'm struggling with my sexuality. No, we're not going to have that. I'm going to put you out the house. I ain't going to have nothing to do with you. That's your child. You love him through whatever you need to love him through. Love covers a multitude of sin. That's your child. That's always going to be your child. What you going to do, disown your child? That's your child. You love your child to the end. But inferiority says, you know, I got to do something about this because if not, it's going to embarrass me. And you let the fear of embarrassment cause you to ghost your own blood child? That's not right. It's not Christ. So, we got a lot of repairing to do. Love. As Christ loved the church. He didn't dominate the church. He didn't rule over the church. in a dominating fashion?
And I know it freaks you out. You're like,
well, what else we supposed to do then? She won't do what I tell her to do.
I wouldn't either. And get rid of that supposed to out of your vocabulary.
You the woman, you supposed to cook.
Man, I remember I told that to Taffy. You know, you the woman, you supposed to cook. She said, well, you got two hands, you the man, you supposed to cook. I understand her point. She says, why am I supposed to do that? And I couldn't answer that. I said, you the woman, you supposed to wash them clothes and fold them. She said, well, I work like you do. Man, I start getting frustrated. That inferiority coming in. I'm like, man, you ain't right. I'm going to go get me a non-biblical equality woman who don't speak too much English. So if she talk back, I don't know what she's saying. I found out that I needed to do the changing. There are the adjustments I needed to make. I had to go back to the source that gave birth to me and let it rewire me. Now I got a team. We got a team there, man. That's my partner right there. That's my road dog right there. You know what I'm saying? That's my ride or die right there. That's it.
Yes, sir.
Man, I love her. It's deep, too. It ain't this. It's like, I don't want to be on the planet without her. Got to have her. Addicted to her. Want her.
And that was after years ago, considering divorce. Because I was in my circle when she should have been in that circle, but I was in that circle. Self-centeredness. So be careful the next time you want to give a definition of manhood and you hadn't resolved the issue of inferiority. Because you don't know what you talk about. Talk about something you know. Are y'all getting this tonight?
Yeah.
I'm trying to be as transparent as I possibly can. I apologize I don't fit your picture of perfection. That's because I'm not. It's because I'm not. No ministry is. I don't believe in ministry that's just filled with scripture. I believe that real ministry is a combination of the scripture and your personal experiences, both good and bad. That's real ministry. And that's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to say, I know what that's like. I've been inferior. I've fallen short. I've had suicidal ideations. I was chronically depressed. I got all of that from counseling all those people when I used to work with all that stuff. And I'm not talking to you about nothing that I hadn't already begun to operate in my own life. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I know. I'm not just preaching a sermon. I'm really preaching my life and kind of converted it over to be able to talk to you about the same things that I've gone through. And I'm not finished yet. I want more of God. And somebody says, well, you can't get more, but I mean, I just want to grow more with him, and I wanna use everything he put in me for his glory, and I don't wanna settle. Somebody say, don't settle.
Don't settle.
Say it again, don't settle.
Don't settle.
You know what causes men to settle?
Inferiority.
There you go.
What does it mean to be a man? The world has so many definitions, but God's is the one that counts. In his two-message series, Revival of Manhood, Creflo Dollar deals with the mentality necessary for men to experience life the way God intended. Get yours today for a love gift of $15 or more for CDs, or $25 or more for DVDs. Visit CrefloDollarMinistries.org and click eStore, scan the QR code, or call the number on your screen.
Creflo Dollar Ministries' annual Revival of Manhood is back. Get ready for Mentality 2023, releasing the weight of manhood. We're set to cover issues that weigh on men from all walks of life. This September 8th and 9th will be 2 days of release, of breaking the bonds holding so many of us hostage. Text MENTALITY to 51555, scan the QR code on your screen, or visit CrefloDollarMinistries.org and register now.
I think you would be amazed at what Creflo Dollar Ministry does every day around the world. Testimonies come in from all over about the impact we have. And I wish you could see the kids we feed. Their lives are changed and impacted for the better because of you, our givers. The seeds you sow into this ministry make a mark that can never be erased. And I want to thank you so much for your financial contributions into the kingdom of God and into this ministry.
If God has placed it on your heart to support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to CrefloDollarMinistries.org. God bless you.
No matter where you are on your personal journey, the Word of God can reach you. At work or simply needing to hear from the Lord, tune in to World Changers every Sunday at 10 a.m. or restream at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Text WATCH NOW to 51555 or visit worldchangers.org for more information about services and stream times. We're in this together. No matter where we are World Changers. See you online.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.